All right. Hello. Welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you for our digital listeners for tuning in today. I want us to look at one particular verse today. I really wanted to get across to you one particular verse that I think is really important for us to learn and meditate on and to understand in our Christian life. But I can't just give you this verse without bringing you through the context of what is going on. So to begin, let's start off with a question that I've been asking regularly each week. What is our purpose in life? What is our purpose in life? Our purpose in life is to bring glory to God. Now let's begin today in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, go ahead and open up there with me. And we're going to begin in verse 23 to get some really good context for the particular verse that I want us to consider today. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth, and he is helping them better understand some very important principles in the Christian life. So look with me at verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. In the Old Testament, the Jews and the followers of God were subject to the Old Covenant, and they were under the law, the Mosaic Law. Well, the entrance of Jesus brought on the entrance of a new covenant. And under the new covenant, we are no longer subject to the laws that the Jews had to follow under the Mosaic Law. We now have the freedom to follow the new covenant, and we have something called Christian liberty. Now, as a follower of Christ, we have freedom in Christ to do anything, to eat anything, to go anywhere, even on a Sabbath day. We are not going to be imprisoned by the Pharisees for walking too far on the Sabbath or for doing good things on that day. We have the freedom in Christ to go and do and follow the Lord's commands without such heavy restrictions like the Jews had. Now, this is often referred to as Christian liberty. If you have not heard of this before, you will hear about it at some point. Now, there are many people who take their Christian liberty as a license to do anything that they want, regardless of what the scripture has to say on the subject, because of their liberty to do so. Now, the idea of Christian liberty is many times taken way out of context. And notice here in verse 23, Paul is helping us to see our limitations. Yes, technically, I can do all things without restraint. However, not all things are helpful. Not all things will draw me to Christ. Not all things will lead others to see Christ in me. I still need to be cautious what I allow myself to do, where I allow myself to go, and so on. Now, just because we no longer have a set of rules that we have to abide by every day does not mean that we are free to do anything that we want. Because God still gives us many, many commands and instructions to guide us through life. And we may not have walls and fences set up by someone else, but we need to set up our own walls and fences to limit ourselves to follow God in the way that would honor Him. Now, this is not your pastor's responsibility to set up walls and to set up limitations for you. This is your own personal discipline to prevent yourself from going off the rails, so to speak, because no one knows you better than yourself. You know how you get distracted. You know what ways you are tempted away from the Lord. You need to set your own perimeters, your own boundaries to make sure that you are staying aligned with Christ. Now, notice the last part of verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Now again, technically, because I'm not under the law, I can do anything I want. But make note, not everything I do is going to lead me into morality. And not everything I do is going to help lead other people to Christ and follow his will over my own will. Well, this is something that we need to be very cautious with. Now look with me at verse 24. It says, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." Now right away, Paul says, look, you can technically do anything you want, but remember that Jesus always tells us to put the other person first, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your enemy, to do good unto them. So how do I do them good? Well, I don't focus on myself, but put the well-being of others before my own wants and desires. This is what Jesus did. Jesus didn't die on the cross for his own benefit, but he put us and our needs before his own. And this is a great parameter that we need to consider, because if my purpose in life is to glorify God and not glorify myself, then I'm going to be thinking about the needs of others before I think of myself. Now that means that if I am a representation of Christ, I need to be cautious of what my life looks like. I need to be cautious in how I dress, in how I act, in how I present myself, in what I say, in what I listen to, in who I listen to, in what I watch. There are so many different things that I need to consider in order that when others see me, that they see Christ, and that I bring him glory instead of glorifying my own wants and desires. Now, the Bible does give us some understanding of what this looks like, but it doesn't limit us with a set of rules and regulations. How you go about this and how you embrace this is entirely up to you. Now let's continue here in verse 25. The Apostle Paul continues. He says, "Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, 'This was offered to idols,' do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness." So Paul is addressing here a situation that is happening in Corinth. People are being invited over to their unbelieving neighbor's house for a nice dinner. And Paul is saying, whatever you do, when you get there, don't ask where the food came from. Just assume the best and enjoy your meal. However, if the host tells you that the same meat that you are about to partake in was offered earlier to idols, do not eat the meat. Decline the meat. You know, it doesn't even matter what kind of meat it is. It doesn't matter if it's a 24-ounce sirloin, okay, or a T-bone. It doesn't matter if it's the best cut of meat out there. Walk away, okay? Just let it go. Now, don't walk away from your neighbor being angry. Don't leave and be mad at them. Just decline the meat and let them know that it's because of the fact that it was given to an idol that you can't eat the meat. And simply draw their attention to your commitment to Christ. Now, I want you to understand this. Paul is urging gospel believers not to participate with something that may cause a stumbling block for the unsaved to come to know Jesus Christ. Now, it's not that it's not that you can't eat the meat that was offered to idols. And I get this sense here at the end of verse 28, when it says, "The earth is the Lord's in all of its fullness." I get the sense that Paul's essentially saying, look, it doesn't matter where this meat came from. It doesn't matter if somebody offered it to idols and they gave it to you later and you ate it. It's not a sin to eat of that. You may ask the blessing of it and so on, and God may bless you for it. The meat is still the meat. Nothing has changed in that. And it's not that it is necessarily something sinful that you're partaking in if you partake in that knowing that it was given to the idols. The whole idea here is that if you partake in something that is potentially going to cause either an unbeliever or a very weak or maybe new believer to be drawn away to sin or to be drawn away from the Lord, then you should decline it. So in this event, it says here in verse 25, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. So in other words, you go to the meat market and maybe they took that meat and offered it to idols. Maybe they didn't, but you don't ask them that in advance. Before you lay your money down, you say, well, I want a cut of this beef or a cut of this chicken or whatever. You don't ask them in advance, wait a minute, is this meat coming from idols? You know, has it been offered as a sacrifice to idols already? Don't ask that. Just ask them for the meat. If they don't tell you, you don't know, it's totally fine. The problem is that when they tell you, if you take and eat that meat, you may be connecting in some way to their religious practice. You may be connecting in some way to their ideology. And Paul's saying you need to be totally separate from that because you don't want to put a wedge or a wall between their understanding of who God is and what they believe as they're sacrificing to their idols. You want to make sure that there is nothing that you do that could potentially cause a non-believer to not come to Christ or a weak believer to walk away from Christ. Now, we typically won't have the same problem here today, but we may run into situations where people may want to watch a movie together that does not honor God, or they may want to enjoy other foods or temptations that may draw you away from the Lord. And the key is to honor God in your everything and be willing and even ready to walk away or decline something that may even seem enticing at the time for the sake of Christ. And also so that your actions do not cause a weaker Christian to fall into a sin problem that they have in their own lives. Now, you may not struggle with a particular area that they do, especially if they've already confided this in you. And this is the key, because you can't possibly know all of the issues that they may have if they don't tell you. But if you know that they struggle with a particular sin, you should not partake in whatever it is that may cause them to stumble into sin. For instance, say that you drink alcohol. Now, the Bible doesn't say that it is a sin to drink alcohol. It does caution against strong drink. And if you want to discuss what biblically the wine of the day was, we can talk about that later. But it's not a sin to drink wine. Now, personally, I don't drink wine, and I don't do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, the Bible, in several places, including the Old Testament, identifies that a leader should be sober-minded and not drink much wine. Number two, I have an addictive personality with foods and such, so I don't want to start something that I'm going to have to fight with later. And number three, it smells terrible. And I don't enjoy drinking bitter things. I like drinking sweet things. So that's why I stay away from it. But it's not a sin for you to drink wine today. However, the Bible doesn't say that drinking alcohol is a sin. And let's say that you are going to meet a Christian brother or sister for dinner. And that Christian brother or sister has already confided in you that they struggle with sin patterns connected to drinking alcohol. Now, if you suggested that you eat dinner someplace that serves alcohol because maybe you enjoy the food at that particular restaurant, you are potentially leading them back to their sin struggle. Or if you order alcohol and drink it in front of them, even if they say it's okay, you are potentially leading them back into their sin struggle. And this is what Paul is warning the Corinthians about, being cautious that you don't do something that is going to cause another believer to stumble or cause an unbeliever to not accept salvation, because you are using your Christian liberty. Now, another example that I very often see or hear about is women not guarding how they dress and wear attire around other weaker or struggling Christians. Now, a woman may wear attire that draws attention to their figure, which may cause other believers to stumble in their struggle with lust or sexual desires. Now, the number one argument I hear on this is that because of my own Christian liberty, I should be able to wear anything that I want. And it's the other person's problem if they look at me or if they struggle or stumble because of what I am wearing. Now, I would agree with this if you are already dressed modest, if you follow the path of what the Bible says. Yes, it's their problem if they're still lusting after you and you've done everything that you can. But I would seriously stress here that I need to be careful with this idea of the Christian liberty and me just doing anything I want to do because I have Christian liberty. This should not be my focus. My personal liberty, is my personal liberty over someone else's problems? You know, when I dress in the morning, I put on what fits and what is generally ironed. But I also consider what is appropriate for the place that I'm going and for the people that I'm going to be around. Now, if my purpose in life is to glorify God, I will think about my brothers and sisters in Christ and make sure that my Christian liberty does not grant me license to ignore their struggles. And I mean, these are the struggles that I am or should be praying for already. How can I destroy those prayers by tempting them to fall into sin? I mean, think about it. If I'm a good brother or sister in Christ, I'm going to be doing everything that I can to help them, help my other brothers and sisters in Christ that I know are struggling with these problems. I'm going to do everything I can to keep them away from falling into sins. And even if they don't struggle with these issues, I know what the primary temptations are in Scripture because it's listed out. You have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, these are the three temptations that Eve was tempted with in the garden herself. These are the same temptations that we run into in the world today. So I'm going to be very cautious that I'm not doing anything that may draw someone away connected to any of these three primary temptations. Now, if my purpose, again, is to glorify God, then I'm going to be doing everything that I can to help others see Christ in and through me. Now, look with me at verses 29 through 30. Paul says, "Conscience, I say not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks?" Now, verse 29 is a great verse because Paul points to our own heart's response. Why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? In other words, why do I have to make changes in my life or to my lifestyle? Because someone else may have a problem with it. Well, it's because our purpose in life is to bring glory to God. And as our purpose in life, bringing glory to God and not instead just doing the things that I want to do most that are going to bring me glory, the things that are going to satisfy me in the moment, those are the things that may cause other people to stumble. But remember, again, if my purpose in life is to glorify God, then I'm going to be okay with making those changes in order to help my brother and sister in Christ. And again, verse 30, it says, "But if I give thanks to the food, if I bless it, why do I have to step away from it?" And really, it is all for the purpose of not causing someone else to walk away from Christ because of what we do. And in a similar manner, if the movie that we're invited out to does not bring God glory and I pray over it, it makes no changes. God still isn't going to be glorified by it. I'm not going to be able to draw my neighbor's attention to the Lord through the participation of watching it. And frankly, I need to be okay with walking away from it. Even if I paid money for it, I need to be careful with that. But I also need to be cautious and be able to walk out and be able to say, hey, you know what? This doesn't bring glory to God. And don't walk out on a movie or don't tell your friends that you're getting together with and so on that you're just not interested in this movie, because if they keep asking you time and time again, you say, I'm just not interested, they're going to just think that you're kind of snuffing them. Don't do that. Just be upfront and tell them, hey, I'm not going to go to this movie because this movie doesn't honor God. That's the reason I'm trying to stay away from it. I have to change how I think and how I honor God in my life, especially around others. Now, there is a caveat here. There may be times that you will find yourself backed into a corner against someone else's opinion, not something biblical. And we should be cautious to follow what the Bible says. But if someone has an opinion of something that you should not do, we are in no way obliged to follow it. Now, I have met many unsaved people over the years that would see me doing something, and they would say, well, that's a sin to do that. And I would say, what? That's not a sin to do that. And they would say, yes, it's an absolute sin to do that. But where do you get that idea from? Well, I heard it once from this guy, or my parents used to say, oh, it's a sin to do this or whatever. And what they're talking about is hearsay and things that are maybe tradition or just the philosophies that someone else had, someone's perspective that they looked at and they said, this is sin. And you're going to find times where people suggest that even something that you do, which is an opinion of theirs, it may not be a sin at all, but they may still say to you, hey, this is a sin, you shouldn't do this. We need to be cautious with those things. We need to be mindful of those things. There are times that maybe if it was something that they felt was very serious, that if we were to partake in that thing, it would cause a deep rut or a problem in their lives. It may keep them away from Christ. And we could still walk away from those things if it was, you know, something that would be easy to do. But at other times you may have people that come to you and just say things that are ridiculous that you really don't need to abide by. And I'll give you a couple examples for that. I've heard people before tell me that, when you go to church on Sunday, you need to wear a 3-piece suit. Okay. And the reasoning for that is because, scripture tells us that we need to give our best to the Lord. And I totally understand that. But many times I would hear from people that say, well, you need to wear a 3-piece suit. You need to make sure you're wearing a tie. You need to wear this and this, and you need to dress this way and so on. And I get it. I get the purpose behind it, but there isn't anything in the Bible that tells me I need to wear a 3-piece suit and tie, on Sunday mornings. And I need to be cautious with that and not take that opinion and shove it forward, because it doesn't say that in the Bible. Yes, I need to honor the Lord in the way I dress. And I need to be modest, and I need to still do my best, make sure my clothing is cleaned and pressed and everything looks good. But I need to be cautious that it's not a determination of how I feel or how I think that I'm telling other people in what they need to do, but it's something actually that what the Bible instructs us. And we need to be cautious that we are not taking our opinions or the traditions of our own lives and so on and creating those into absolutes that are something that the Bible says where the Bible doesn't actually say it. Now, Paul's encouragement here and warning all butt up against this one well-known and important verse for the Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, which says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, in absolutely everything that you do in your life, even if it's eating or it's drinking, even in the most simplest everyday tasks or whatever you do, do it all for God's glory, not for your own satisfaction. Now, I don't know about you, but verse 31 to me is a challenge. It's a great reminder of what I need to do, but it's also a challenge. Now, this means that today I can dishonor God in what I eat, especially if I'm eating way too much dessert or I'm hoarding my food. I can become a glutton for sure. And in what I drink, I need to be cautious in what I'm drinking. That what I'm drinking is honoring God. I'm not allowing it to pollute my mind or change me in any way. I can dishonor God by how I dress, by how I'm letting people look at my body instead of helping them to see Christ within me, and by how I act around other people. Am I acting even modestly? Am I acting according to the way that God directs me to act in Scripture? I can dishonor God by what I say and by how I use my body. I can dishonor God by how I think and even where I spend my money. Now, there are so many ways that I can dishonor God, which is why I need to be so careful with what I do and through my life. And really, this verse helps us to see how our mindset can be skewed to be all focused on ourselves. Me, I get a lot of attention and I like putting myself first, but we are being asked to put others before ourselves. All right, let's finish off this chapter with verse 32. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. You know what? Look at chapter 11, verse 1. It also says here, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And Paul says, be careful with your life, with your liberty, not to offend anyone, just as I'm careful because life is not about me, but it is about honoring Christ. Now notice Paul says, don't offend the Jews, which are the primary group that they are around at this time, or the Greeks. Now the Greeks were the Gentiles, so they were the unsaved. Basically, they were everybody, they weren't just the unsaved, they were the saved as well, but they were basically everybody that wasn't a Jew. So even today, on this earth today, we have two people groups. We have the Jews and we have the Gentiles. If you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile. So he's saying everybody, think about everything. Don't offend anyone here on the earth, especially don't offend anyone here on the earth on purpose for the sake that you're thinking of yourself over them. And just in case that you were thinking that the church itself is separated from this group, Paul makes sure that you know that you should also not offend the church of God. So be cautious with who you put first. Now, Paul puts others first before himself. Even consider chapter 11, verse 1. Again, he says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now, this is our challenge in the Christian life. Many people think that because they're not subject to the law and they have liberty, that they can really do anything that they want. And if you're offended by what I do or drawn away from Christ, then that's your problem. But that is not what the scripture tells us at all. We need to be cautious that we are not pulling people away from Christ or enticing them to sin in any way. We need to instead draw people to Christ. Now again, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I'm going to encourage you this week, take this one verse and meditate on it, chew on it, think about it over and over again, and think about all the ways that you can dishonor God by eating and all the ways that you can glorify God by eating. The same with drinking and whatever you do. And think about how you bring glory to God. And this is a very important verse in the Christian life. Very important, and we need to get very familiar with it because it will definitely help us in our walk with the Lord and in our understanding of bringing God all of the glory. We need to be cautious because in so many ways today, the people in our culture are putting themselves first, and many Christians are learning from this and desiring to put themselves first. And if we grab God and just bring him along with us, then we aren't bringing God the glory. We are not putting him first in our lives. If we put God first and we are making an effort to bring him all of the glory, then no matter what, he's going to be glorified as we make what changes we need to make in our lives in order to bring him glory. We're going to desire to make those changes. We're going to desire to help our neighbor see Christ through us and to not put ourselves first. And that's what Paul is directing us here to do in this text. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this week to meditate on your word, to study it, to read it, and to be praying to you, Lord God. But I pray that we'd come back to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Help us to remember that there are so many ways in life that we can easily, even without thinking about it, put ourselves first. There are so many different ways that we can fall away or even draw people's attention away from you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us this week instead to consciously think about what we wear into different places, how we act around different people, how we help build up people, how we point people to Christ through everything that we do in our lives, instead of just living a life and hoping for the best. Help us, Lord, to bring you all of the glory, and I pray that we concentrate and focus on that this week. Change our hearts and our minds, bring conviction where conviction needs to be, Lord, and direct us in serving you. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.